Bibles, if you will, and turn back to the book of Genesis. I'll read a couple of verses. I was thinking about that matter of him coming to me. Prior to the day that he showed up, I heard the gospel on three occasions as a 14-year-old boy. And all the components of salvation, because of those encounters with the gospel, were present. But I was still lost because I lacked one thing. That was him. It was presented unto me, the full gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection. My great need. But nothing changed. Until that day, on a Sunday afternoon, walking down a little alley in Cleveland, Ohio, he came to me. And he took every bit of that. All of those components, put life in them. And from that spot, I have never been the same. No man, no preacher, nobody else was there that day but me and him. But I walked away. Didn't have all the answers, and I didn't even need any. I knew something had happened. I laid down that night. And I felt like a brand new baby. And that's amazing that I knew nothing other than I'd heard the gospel. But he showed up, and that's why I know he's real. Because if he hadn't come, I'd still have a little bit of head knowledge, and that's all there'd be. But he makes a difference, don't he? And I'm glad he knew where I was at on that day, because as far as I know, heaven's never touched that spot again. It's just such an out-of-the-way place. I mean, a little old alley. But he knew where you were at also when he came your way. Genesis chapter number 40, I'll read one verse, verse number 14. And then I'm going to go to chapter 41. And read a couple of verses, verse 51, verse 52. One of the things I always say about preaching here is there's so much bootlegging goes on after you get done. And I notice y'all do that on the tapes. I listen to some of the tapes. You do that while Brother Lester's preaching. Y'all don't do me that way, but that would be fine. I mean, I just pick up on it and go. That helps pretty good when they're throwing the logs on the fire while you're preaching. But I always know that I'm going to get something extra to mix in with the sermon. And you know, verses that you read, like the verse he read after the, but it just seemed like when he read it, it said, huh, why didn't you have that in there? That's not only him, but I mean, after the service, so many of you will say, you know, I was, and you'll quote a verse, or you'll, and I love that. I love that. And that's why I enjoy coming this way. Genesis 40 and verse number 14. Joseph has spent some time in prison. A couple of boys, butler and baker, displease the king. Or he gets a little cranky, I don't know. Has them put in prison. They have some dreams. And one of them's dreams is not so good. He ends up being having his head being hung and executed. And the other, the butler, he gets restored. Joseph reveals the dream and says, you know, you're going back to work, boy. But notice what Joseph says to that butler as he has just, he's interpreted his dream and he said, you're going back. Verse number 14, he said, but think on me when it is well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this, and he calls it a dungeon or a dark pit. Joseph doesn't express how he feels often about what has transpired, but I'll guarantee you he ain't had a picnic. There's only a couple of places that you can really pick up on his feelings, his hurt, and there's one place. And then if you'll turn to chapter number 41, verse 51 and verse 52, he expresses himself again. He doesn't wear this on his sleeve, but yet we catch glimpses of it. Verse 51, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Verse 52, and the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Joseph's had it tough. He's had it rough. If we're not careful, we'll read about these ensamples and examples of the Scripture as if they're just fables and fairy tales and really doesn't have a lot to do with us in the real world. It was a real world for Joseph, as it was a real world for Christ. And he came to experience that for you and I so that he could be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And I want to emphasize, this morning I talked about that great truth that not many times is preached on, I guess, but it is a rock-bottom truth that if you're going to be able to make it through life, you're going to have to learn to wait on the Lord. Waiting. But I want to take just a few moments tonight, and I want to look at this truth of suffering, the truth about suffering. And I understand that if you watch any of the modern-day evangelists on television, it's as if they have drained all the suffering out of Christianity. And that if you become a Christian, then there won't be any suffering. It'll be all smiles and grinning, look like a possum. But I'm here to tell you the very heart of the gospel is suffering. Yes. There's no way to get around it.
Yes, Lord.
And the heart of Christianity is suffering. The truth of Christianity is suffering. But what I want to emphasize for a few moments as I see in Joseph's life, and of course is so apparent in our salvation with Christ, but also in our daily walk with the Lord, that if there's going to be any saving, there must first be some suffering. There has to be a measure of suffering for God to do His work of saving. And thinking about Philippians 1, verse number 29, Paul said, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Now we think many times on the gifts that God has given us as His children and how blessed those gifts are. But I don't know if we understand that one of his gifts is the gift of suffering. The gift of suffering. F.B. Meyer said the love of God in Christ Jesus could only be display itself through suffering. And the love of God today can only display itself and work out its higher purposes through suffering. God intends and God uses this gift that Christ himself had as he gave himself for you and I in this manner of suffering. But if God is going to save and raise up a nation that's going to lead to the birth of Christ and lead to your and my salvation, somebody is going to have to suffer. And Joseph suffered. And we too, if we can embrace it, if we can accept it, we'll not tiptoe around this truth, but we will embrace the truth of the gift, a gift of suffering, realizing hand in hand with all suffering is a measure of salvation on one level or on another. And it's clearly seen from Joseph's life that he suffered. But I'm going to tell you, any time that there is real life, you can see that there has been suffering. In other words, in this little flock that's sitting here tonight, everyone represented here, some mama suffered, went to the jaws of death so you and I could be brought into this world. All life comes out of a measure of suffering. Joseph understands and embraces that. And of course, that's what our salvation and what Christ is all about. But hey, in everyday living, we must understand that there will be those times of heartache, pain, and suffering. We only read two or three verses there, but you can see from that, and if you know the story of Joseph's life, you realize that Joseph suffered. He suffered physically. Psalm 105 said they bound him with fetters and they hurt him. He suffered emotionally. We can tell by the naming of his children. He suffers, no doubt, mentally, as he says to the butler, would you speak to the king when you get a chance and get me out of this place? I'm down here in a dark pit. I am in a dungeon. He is suffering. But I want to mention to you three or four things that come with suffering that cannot be had without suffering. It is God's purposes as far as our suffering is concerned. I want to mention these to you. First of all, my thought goes back to this butler and baker in chapter 40 and verse number 6. The Bible said, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Joseph just walks into their presence. How does he know what's going on the inside? But yet he knows they are sad, and he asks them. He says to them in verse number 7, wherefore look ye so sadly today? I'm going to tell you how he was able to perceive the depth of their heartache, their pain, their suffering, their fear. He himself had already been where they are. Which would lead me to this truth about suffering that makes it monumental and makes it a must. It makes suffering a must in our lives. And it is this first great truth, and it is the truth that suffering allows you to enter in to someone else's world like nothing else can. There's no flippant individuals going to be able to walk right in the midst of these two men's heartaches and pains. But because Joseph knows and has tasted of those bitter waters, he himself is able to enter into that. I like what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort whereby we ourselves are comforted of God." He's saying the reason why you can comfort somebody else is because you've been comforted with that same comfort. In other words, you have been there. And let us understand that God is not allowing us to go through these events, these situations, these disappointments, these heartaches, these measures of darkness, just for our own sake. He's allowing us to go through that because somebody else is coming through. Amen. And what he can do is he can allow you to minister in places to people that no one else can because of the suffering that you've experienced. Yes. Isn't this true? Isn't this true? Yes. When a mother would lose a child, the one that can speak to her the loudest is another mother who has lost a child. Yes. Someone who is going through cancer, no one can speak to them any louder than someone else that has already been through cancer. It just works that way. God has intended it to be that way. And again, I say to you, that's why Jesus Christ came, is because he wanted to enter into your world and into my world. We have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all manners we, yet without sin. Thank God Jesus came to feel what you feel and what I feel, and that's why we allow him to come into our world. Suffering allows you, because suffering is the only one that can, suffering is the only thing that can perceive. Suffering is the only one that can see. Suffering is the only thing that identifies suffering. Are you hearing how I say that? Suffering is the only thing that can identify suffering. It can see it on the spot. But without suffering, you'll just walk over top of it. You'll just be flippant about it. Or you'll just say, well, if I was there, I'll tell you what I would do. But you got no clue because you've not been there. But yet God, in his mercy on our behalf and the mercies of those who are going to face tragedies in this life, allows us to suffer so that we can enter into the sufferings of others. Couple of illustrations. One, I'm sure you heard about the little boy that went to the pet shop with his daddy and he wanted to buy a puppy. And in one cage, there were 8 or 10 puppies of the same breed. He noticed in another cage, there was a lone puppy by itself, but yet it was of the breed of these others. He said to the owner, why do you have this puppy all by himself when he looks like these? He said, well, young man, this puppy over here is of that breed, but it was born with a bad leg. It's a puppy that's not well. And so we don't want to put it in there because inevitably somebody by accident would reach in and grab it. And then we got to do all the explanations. So we just set it over here. It has a bad leg. The little boy took his daddy and went to the side, came back momentarily, and he said, sir, I'd like to have the puppy with the bad leg. He said, oh, son, you don't want the puppy with the bad leg. There's no way, it cannot be fixed nor mended, and I have to charge you the same price as the well puppies. Oh, he said, mister, while at the same time he was pulling up his own pant leg. And you could see the braces. It went all the way down. Steel braces went all the way down into his shoe. He said, "Sir, I was born with a bad leg, and I don't mind having a puppy that's got a bad leg." He could step into the world of that puppy because he knew what that puppy was going through. And what a blessing it is when we don't have to put on a facade or a show. And I know we all want to be kind in everybody's situation, but yet we all walk away and say, "Well, I didn't have words to say because we've not been there." But there will be those special occasions in which you have been there and you will have the word to say. Because you will be able to look into the depths of it and realize it. Because you have been there. I remember for Esther and I, probably the darkest days in our lives. I'll not go into details. Many years ago, and as we were so broken about the issue, the thing that had happened, in our minds and even in our bitterness, really, had formulated what we were going to do about the situation. Our attack, our approach about it. And on that Sunday morning, unbeknownst to me, a preacher showed up and his wife that I'd preached for several times. He said, "Brother Dana, Sister Esther, we were in the area vacating. We decided we'd just come to your church." We were glad to have them, though we were brokenhearted. And after the service, Esther fixed a sumptuous meal. They came up and we sat around and began to talk. And of course, if your heart's broken, it's hard to keep it on the inside, the tears and the sorrow. And somehow that couple was so easy to open up to. And we sat there and talked to them about what we were going through. Little did we know that several years prior to that, they had went through exactly the same thing that we had gone through. And oh, how they wept with us and how, it was just, it was amazing. Amen. And I'll never forget what that preacher told me, Brother Smith. It was a deliverance. And we were willing to listen because we knew they had been there. And he said to us, he said, "Preacher, I can't tell you what to do in this situation. But," he said, "I can tell you what not to do." And everything he told us not to do, we had planned on doing. I want to, even though it hurts. I don't want to be so shallow just to skip through life, but if God so ordains it and it's His business, I want to be able to walk into somebody else's world. I want to be able to help somebody that is hurting. And that's what our pain, every bit of it, is all about, is to help others who are there. And Joseph walks, it's not by accident that he's put in that prison when these two men come in there and he's looking into a mirror. He sees himself. And it grabs his heart. He can't just walk by it. He can't let it go. It just stops and focuses, and it draws him like a magnet. And he says, "Boys, there's something wrong. What is it?" It's right in there. And to be able to look into somebody's world and immediately your heart is there with them. As Christ's heart is with us. Suffering allows you to enter into someone else's world because it's the only thing that identifies suffering. Only thing. The second thing that I would say to you about this matter of suffering, not only does it allow you to enter into someone else's world, but this matter of suffering, as we notice in Joseph's life, in Joseph's world, why is it that we know so much about Joseph? How is it that so many of us will say Inevitably, if I preach anything about Joseph, one of my favorite Bible characters. Don't we all? And we're all, he's so easy to preach on because most of us know the facets of his life. But I'm here to tell you that the only reason why we know anything about Joseph is suffering. You take the suffering out of his life, we don't know nothing about him. You take suffering out of the book of Job, you don't have a book of Job. Ain't nobody going to spend 10 minutes reading it. And you take suffering out of Christ, and Christ means nothing when it means comes to salvation. That's what makes him all that he is to you and I. No wonder we sing of his marvel, his grace, his wonder, his amazement. Look at how much he suffered. Suffering memorializes the sufferer. And these people such as David and Daniel in the Bible are so near our hearts because of the measure of suffering that they have gone through. But here's what I want you to see. Suffering allows you to enter into someone else's world, but suffering also allows others to come into your world. Folks will know more about you, not as a result of your successes, but as a result of your suffering. And the people that I have cared to know more about in my walk with Christ is those who have amazed me at the amount of suffering they have went through and yet retained their joy and their love for God. That's why we sing Fanny Crosby's songs, The Blind Lady, because of the measure of suffering that she has gone through. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's why we sing, It Is Well With My Soul. Horatio Spafford wrote after losing his children as the ship went down. That's why we sing at the cross, where I first saw the light. It's the suffering that came out of that. And it allows everyone to look in. It allows everyone to look in. And we want to look in. It draws us to look in. We know Joseph in a better way because of his suffering. Do we not? I mean, we know Joseph as well as we do anybody else in the Bible, but it's because of his suffering. But we know Joseph in a more blessed way because of his suffering. We can see what God does in and through Joseph and what comes out of it. We can see more of God in his life as a result of the suffering. We can just look in. As I say, suffering immortalizes the sufferer. Those who are known in the Bible are known most because of their suffering. I've mentioned Marcel Harrison here, the lady that had the little girl with cerebral palsy. I met her at 75. The little girl was 35. I didn't realize that she'd already lost, as I've told you, she'd already lost 6 children, 3 in 1 year. None of those stillborn, all 3 of them over a year old. By different causes. A woman that had been down to death's door so many times. And she went through some darkness. God, a great story in that, brought her out, but I'll not deal with that. But by the time that I got there, which is many years later, when you walked in that little old boxed house up in Gouges Creek, you knew that God was there for some reason. Because he hangs close to those who suffer. I never forget the profound statement of that little old girl she'd been taken care of for 35 years. Cerebral palsy. Couldn't walk. Couldn't tend to herself. Had a good mind but no way of functioning. The muscle disorders. And she said, "Preacher, one day I was just painting in her house and she was fixing to feed little Margaret. And she said, 'Preacher, I don't know if you can understand this or not, but she said if there had to be a little Margaret in this world, I'm sure glad Jesus gave her to me.'" I said, "Whoa." You talking about getting somebody's attention, I went like this. Oh, how she could get heaven's attention. Heaven is focused on Joseph. We are focused on Joseph. I'm going to tell you, those who suffer, I'm going to tell you this manner of suffering will let you into someone else's world, but it will let others come into your world. But as they come into your world, they will see you in a better way. They will see God in a better way. As I talked about the man this morning, Tim Wilder, I mean, just coming through that matter of that tumor, which is not completely taken out, won't they don't think, be cured, but he's lived far beyond, 2 years. But God is using him mightily. He goes out and speaks in one church after another as he stumbles through his sentences. But God is magnified and everybody's on the edge of their seat. And why would you not? When a man told you the only thing he had in his head was the truth. Was the truth of God. In 4 or 5 words. I am that I am. He got my attention. Suffering will just let others see God more clearly in your life. If you don't believe it, look at Jesus. Suffering allows you to enter into someone else's world. Suffering allows others to come into your world. God is saying, go in there. Go in there because you're going to find me in there. Brother James Carpenter, I ran into him also doing some painting one day. Nearly blind. Sitting in that recliner. But oh, heaven's radiation in his heart. Suffered so much physically. He said to me, "Preacher, I went to the doctor 17 years ago and they opened me up to operate on cancer." He pat right there. I'll never forget it. "They said I was a goner. They looked at it and sewed me back up and sent me home to die." He said, "I don't know, maybe it's still in there." Have them little old services in that retirement center, and he'd get in there and play his harmonica. I went by one day, had a harmonica laying there, French harp laying there. I said, "I didn't know you could play that." He said, "I couldn't, but," he said, "we have our services and ain't nobody can play the piano there." And said, "I figured that I could learn to play that and play some music along with the singing." He'd pick it up and play a tune. And I'd say, "Woo." But it wasn't that got me. It's that I was able to, he pulled me into his world of suffering that seemed to have so much God in it. Because you can find God there that you can't find anywhere else. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe it, if you'll look back when Joseph is thrown in prison, chapter number 39 and verse number 20, he's put in prison in verse 20. Verse 21 said, but you know who's in there with him? If you want to find God, get in there. He's in there. Honey, in these little suffering places, in these little These little places where there's a lot of pain, I have found, especially in those mountains that I passed in, that the gold mines were in places that folks were afraid to go into because there was suffering in there. But I found that God was in there. I remember coming out of Marcel Harrison's. I'd go down there after I plugged into her, honey. I went down there. I got all that I could get before she left this world. And I'd go down there just have her pray. I'm telling you, I've never heard anybody to this day that could just open. I mean, she didn't have to. She just was there immediately on any level about anything. Pray, and I'd have her to pray. And I remember one night, boy, God was so real. I left that little house, walked up a bank there, and I stopped. And I don't normally talk to the devil, but I did that night. I said, "Oh, devil, if you're anywhere around here, I feel sorry for you if you've got to go in there." Yeah, she's lost 6 children. Yeah, she's got a little girl who's got cerebral palsy. But God's in there. And these are the people that have caught my attention down through the years. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking. I'm not telling you to foolishly say, "Oh, God, pour big measures." You'd be a fool to do that. But what I'm saying to you is when God allows it, understand He's got a purpose for it. He wants to use you. He will allow you to go into others' worlds, but He'll welcome others. You won't realize who's watching. You won't realize who's looking on. You won't realize what hearts are being touched because of where you're at. The third thing I want to say to you about this matter of suffering. I know this ain't no Benny the Hen sermon. This ain't no... Jolly Osteen sermon. But it's the Bible. And I want to be where God's at. Suffering allows you to enter into someone else's world. Suffering will allow others to see God in your world. But I'm going to tell you, suffering will also allow you to enter into His world. I'm talking about Jesus. Matter of fact, if you get into His world, first thing you got to do is die. Amen. Isn't that true? You got to die to get into His world. And honey, if you're not interested in a life that has some pain and suffering and scars and heartaches, you ain't going to spend no time with Him. They tell us, and I believe it to be so, that Joseph is like Jesus in over 100 ways. And every bit of it has to do with suffering. The cutting and carving and molding of our lives. Being predestinated to be conformed into the image of His Son. And the power of that is through, I'm going to tell you, God's handiwork of suffering. Because that's how Jesus became who He was. Oh, we talk about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We love that little, you know, Jesus. But nobody wants to go to the cross with Him. Nobody wants to go to the garden with Him. But suffering allows you into His world. You know, we're always wanting God to feel what we feel. And truly He does. That's why He came. But how would it be if every now and then we felt a little bit of what He felt? We want Him to feel our sorrows. But do and are we willing to feel His sorrows? I like what Paul said. As a matter of fact, Peter said it this way. He said, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of the sufferings of Christ." He said, "Get out and run and shout when you get to suffer for Jesus." Partakers. Paul said it this way, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His what? Of His sufferings." Nothing will make two people any more alike than when they find out they got the same problem. Haven't you noticed that? Years ago, I came down with this thing called psoriasis. You know, that skin disorder. Somebody said, is it catching? No, only if I shake your hand. My granddaughter, one of us said, do you want me to take a nap with you? She said, no, you get skin all over me. Do you have knee surgery? You'll run into 100,000 people. I had knee surgery. Did you have this? Did you have that? How did you do after you done that and this, that, and the other? What does it, you know? And you can just talk forever. You can fellowship over knee surgery.
Yes.
I mean, first thing a fella walk up to me, he'll say, you know, my back, I've got just had back surgery. And I just said, you know, as a young man, I had back surgery. And then I'll say to him, did it go down your hip, down your leg? He said, yeah, it went down my leg. We didn't stand around because we got something in common. It may not be much of fellowship about, but we can fellowship because I've been there.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. And it's amazing how many people has had or has got what you've got. You didn't know it until you got it. But here it is. That he said that I might know him. He said I want to know him. And I've expressed this here before, but I want to express it again. You know, we can thank him for his blessings, and they have been many. Matter of fact, he has blessed us with so much that he did not bless himself with. You got a vehicle, he had no mode of transportation. He blessed you with that. You got a house, he didn't have a word to lay his head.
Amen.
But he blessed you with what he didn't bless himself with, and on and on and on and on. So you cannot fellowship with him over your blessings. You can thank him and praise him, but he doesn't have anything common with you on that.
Yes, Lord.
For the most of the things that we have in life, Jesus knew nothing about it. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can get rejected, talked about.
Yes.
You can suffer physically. Or whatever that suffering is, and you can find you any place you want to get down and pray, and automatically he'll be there because he knows all about that.
Yes.
And you'll feel that fellowship come together. And you will be able to know him greater because you and him can fellowship over the sufferings.
Yes, thank you.
The sufferings.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's why on the blessings we hit the high notes. And we ought to. On the blessings we ought to just... But I'm going to tell you something. When it gets to the suffering part, there won't be many high notes. There'll be some low notes, but they'll be deep and they'll carry you.
Amen.
Joseph is not just flippantly running through life saying, praise, oh, hallelujah, I'm going to jail tomorrow. And I'm going. No. He's walking through some deep valleys, but he's being made like Christ. He's being formed into the image of Christ. And after all, what are we here for? Just to have a good time? This world's not going to be helped if we're just having a good time. If we're all interested in getting through life without any scars, there'll be no saving. Because suffering and saving comes hand to hand. And the more you become like Christ through the fellowship of his suffering, the more God can save. Making us like him. Now, I've preached so much here, y'all have heard everything I've ever preached anyway. But I've heard everything y'all have ever sung anyway. So, we're not coming together for nothing new anyway. We're just proclaiming those old truths.
Yes.
But I have told you, I guess, maybe about Esther and I, we used to do what was called interior decorating. That's painting and hanging wallpaper in those days, but put a fancy name on it, you could charge more. And I know we've all went to the hardware store to have a gallon of paint mixed. And if you go get a gallon of paint mixed, I'm talking about being made in the image of Christ. You'll have a paint chart because ain't no lady wants the already mixed gallon of paint. That's not going to work. So you got to take the paint chart and you say to the individual, I would like to have a gallon of paint, and here's the color, and you'll point out the color that I want. What he will do, lackadaisically, he'll go get a base gallon of paint that has no pigment in it. He'll take it over there, and he's got a spindle there with about 10 or 12 canisters. All of them's got different pigments in them. He'll take the lid off that gallon of paint, he'll slide it under there, and the very first color he'll go to. Do you know there's one color that has to be in every color? It even has to be in white. You know what it is? Black. And he'll spin that around. Now, you want one of these colors up here, one of these light colors. He'll spin that around, and he'll squirt black in it, and you're looking at it, and if you don't know anything about it, you're thinking, I drove 25 minutes over here for you to fix a black gallon of paint, and my wife ain't going to be happy.
Amen.
Then he'll spin it around and squirt some bright red, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, this guy just hired on here. And then he'll turn around and squirt maybe some bright yellow in it, and he'll just keep squirting all them colors that's so confusing. But he's just, you know, he's whistling Dixie. Puts the lid on it, and he'll put a little sticker on there, and he'll write all that mix on there, and then he'll take it over there, confident, and put it in a shaker, and it's shaking up. He'll get a wood paddle and lay it down there, maybe a can opener. After it gets done, he'll take that gallon of paint, and he has the audacity to set it down right in front of you after putting all that in there, saying, is there anything else you need? Yeah, one thing. Take the lid off that thing. I want to see if it's anywhere close to this, because I got a good idea that it ain't. And he'll take the lid out from it, and he'll stick that wooden stir stick in there about an inch. He'll get a blow dryer, and he'll blow it dry. And then he'll hold it up beside of that chart, and if he's done his job right, and I've had him do it hundreds of times, you will be amazed how he took all those colors that you didn't want, put them in a bucket, and bring out the color that you did want.
Amen.
And I thought of that one day, and I realized that what God is doing is he's squirting things into my life. And a lot of times they're confused, and a lot of times I don't like them and I don't want them. And I said, Lord, what did you do that for? That ain't going to work out. I didn't get saved for that. Lord, don't put that in there. No, I don't want that to happen. I don't want everybody to see that in my life. No, Lord, don't do that. And he just like he don't care. He'll put the lid on you, hand you to the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost gets to shaking you around. Man, you in a bad shape then. One of these days in glory, they'll take the lid off. And you'll be amazed how he took all the experiences you didn't want, put them together as in Joseph's life, and brought out the one thing you did want, and that is Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is coming out of it.
Amen.
Suffering will allow you to go into someone else's world. Suffering will allow someone else to come in your world, and suffering will allow you to get into his world. I feel like I'm preaching at a camp meeting. It's good. I like it. The last thing is suffering. Suffering allows, or suffering prepares you for another world. Suffering ain't about this world. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 17, and of children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. He said in verse number 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, look at this, shouting down, times are coming. It's going to be a great day of rejoicing. no matter what we go through. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, the Lord's got something waiting, but it ain't going to be worth much if you hadn't been prepared for it. God was preparing a promised land, but he had to prepare a people for it. He had to work on both sides. And somebody said, why did he leave his people in Egypt for that long and make them and allow them to suffer? I'm going to tell you something. The reason why is when he got ready, he wanted them to be ready. And I'll tell you what heaven does for every one of us, or what hurting does for every one of us, it makes heaven sweeter. It makes it more real. It makes it seem closer. And by the time he's done with the children of Israel in Egypt, honey, he ain't going to have to sing 100 stanzas to get them to move. They're ready to run and get out of there. And what good would heaven be if all of us was living down here in paradise where there's no bugs, no mosquitoes, all the weather was fine, everything was hunky-dory. He wrote handling with care on us. The devil couldn't get within a million miles and everything was so great until he just pushed a button and we shipped out to heaven. We wouldn't even care about going. But he said, I'm going to let you live in a real world. I'm going to let you live where folks do suffer and they're not the only ones going to suffer. When the storms come, they'll come to you. It'll rain on the just and the unjust. You're going to find out what suffering's all about. But when I call you home, you'll be ready to come home. Where there's no psoriasis. And on top of that, they always told me, said, are you hurting anywhere? I'd say, no. Why? I don't know why they wanted to tell me that. They said, well, if you've got psoriasis, arthritis comes with it. It's a brother to it, first cousin to it. Psoriatic arthritis. Well, at 60 years old, here it comes. Now it's not the psoriasis that bothers me, it's the arthritis that bothers me. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I get out of bed and I can't hardly get from here to here, I know there's a day coming, honey, when all that's going to be over with. So I want to serve him in my suffering so when I get there, I can experience the glory of it. I know we've had a new election and things have turned a little bit, but honey, I still somehow feel that all hell is going to break loose on America. And when it does, it's going to be on the church. And we're going to know what suffering's like. And we're going to look forward to a land that is fairer than day. And we'll be singing that song, even about America. I mean, man, listen, we've all got it so well right now. But one of these days, we may willingly sing that song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure's all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. And I can't wait. How's that go? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Oh, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? Beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That might be poor singing, but I ain't going to charge you for it no way. But God's using it to prepare his people for a precious country. them. What God's children's all going to have in common when we get there. Now, I'm not just talking about religion, church folk. I'm talking about those redeemed. Because he's going to allow all of us to go through a measure of suffering. It's the fact when we get there, we're going to know what suffering has been all about. And we're going to look at the Son of God who suffered for us. Suffering allows you into someone else's world. It allows others into your world. It allows us to get into his world, and it prepares us for another world. And no wonder Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." Suffering that saves. You can't have one without the other.